tonight I figured Hanukkah, it's coming up soon, and just different points about Hanukkah, tie together perhaps some more contemporary halacha l'maisa concerns, and also try to treat them, what is the nature of the day. There appear to be some conflicting views on the day. It's a little difficult to understand what's going on. What are we celebrating exactly? If you look up a Gemara in Shabbos, it tells us that, there was this miracle with the oil, the one that we're all familiar with. The Chashmonaim had taken the Beis HaMikdash back. It was a revolt. The Greeks, or the outgrowth of the Greeks, essentially, had taken over the area. They were persecuting the Jews. They had some gzeiros and decrees that were making life and religious observance very difficult. At one point it became too hard, so there was a revolution, and we were successful. The Greeks had defiled the Beis HaMikdash, and when it was retaken, they cleaned it up. There wasn't enough oil to last, for really at all. They found one flask. It should have been one day. It takes 8 days to get new oil. It lasted all 8 days. And that nace seems to be what most people assume that we are commemorating. If that's the case, there is just a bit of a concern. Because if you think about it, there really isn't any mention of it whatsoever in Al HaNisan. What is Hanukkah? What's going on Hanukkah? What's the main point of Hanukkah? Is it lighting menorah? Or is it Al HaNisan? Because the two don't really mesh. We don't say Al HaNisan when we light the candles, or some people maybe sing, just for fun, but it's not one of the classic songs until, I guess, newer tunes, newer being in the 20th century and on. So it wasn't really sung at the time of lighting the menorah. So it doesn't seem to have its place there. Yet, it's found, obviously, in Shemona Esrei. It's found in benching, if somebody has a meal that they wash for. So we have Al HaNisan, which during the day is this thank you, which focuses on the war. And then we have this Hadlakas Neros, which doesn't focus really on the same idea of it. Now, the fact that it says that they lit Hedligu Neros Bechatzos Ketshecho in Al HaNisan does not seem to be a reference to the menorah. Because it doesn't say menorah, it doesn't mention the nace, per se, just as they lit lights, lamps, lanterns. Candles is probably not an accurate translation. So they lit these lamps in the chatzar. The menorah is not lit in the chatzar. Now there's a lot of very interesting Torah, a little convoluted in certain ways, to try to say that they didn't want to be metame the menorah, so they had to light from outside, and this whole interesting procedure, but the Pashat Pshat in Al HaNisan is not referring whatsoever to the nace. Yet you look at the Gemara and Shabbos, and it sounds like the focus of Hanukkah is the nace, that the oil lasted for the 8 days, and that seems to be what we're celebrating.
No connection between the Hedligu Neros Bechatzos Ketshecho and the Kaddush Shmonas
Mechanukah. It sounds like it's just part of that. When they found the Beis HaMikdash, or not found, when they reestablished the Beis HaMikdash and they cleaned it up, they were able to illuminate it, meaning it was back in service. Everybody saw, once the lights were lit in the Chatzer, and everybody in Yerushalayim was able to see, we took the Beis HaMikdash back. It was a joyous occasion. It's very similar, obviously there's the pictures and even recordings. People still remember that, in 67 when they took the Kotel. So it was a huge thing. And people remember that. It was, hearing that even now, people who weren't alive, they hear these recordings and whatever. It's definitely, it gets you very inspired. It was a very joyous occasion. Can you imagine if that's just the outer wall of the courtyard? Can you imagine if we took the whole Beis HaMikdash back and we were able to light candle? Like, even more so, it would have been a tremendous victory. So that seems to be what the Pashat Pshat, just the description in Al HaNisan is. It's certainly not the nace, because it doesn't say it lasted for 8 days. The whole thing is missing. It costs him in that safer.
Okay.
So, if you ask most people nowadays, so the first thing that comes to mind, Hanukkah, is the menorah. And perhaps that's because that's a mitzvah. It's theoretically possible not to say Al Nisim an entire Hanukkah. Now, you're supposed to say Shemoneh Esrei every day, at least three times a day. But if you forget Al Nisim, you're not going to have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. And in terms of benching, you don't need to make a meal on Shabbos. It's a different story, but that's because it's Shabbos. But you don't need to wash on Hanukkah if you don't want to wash. And again, if you forgot it in benching, you're not going to have to repeat it. It's not, you're not supposed to do it that way once again, but theoretically you could get away without saying Al Nisim. Whereas with not lighting, yeah, I guess if you didn't, what are you going to do? You're not going to light it the next week, but you also, you missed that entire mitzvah, which is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, to light the menorah. So, what's interesting is it seems, if we look in Megillas Tainus, which is the source that the Gemara in Shabbos is quoting, the Gemara brings the whole story, and it discusses the Nais. So, in Megillas Tainus itself, it's a little longer version of what was mentioned there. And it says, what's Hanukkah? What is it? And the focus there is not the lighting. Rather, it says it was the war. The war, essentially, that it ended. And not just the fact that the war ended and we were victorious, but we were able to take the Beis HaMikdash, we were able to clean it up. And it was a Chanukah HaMizbeach. So, Hanukkah comes from Chanukah HaMizbeach. The Braisa, Megillah Tainus, this is a Braisa. The Gemara itself is quoting an abridged version of this Braisa. But this Braisa tells us, so Hanukkah, it was a celebration to dedicate the Mizbeach, to rededicate it. Why was it 8 days? All other Chanukios, HaMizbeach, that had been prior to this were in multiples of 7. Of the amount of days that were, you know, celebrated for it. So why was this one 8 days? And it says, because it took 8 days to clean it up. So that's what they needed to do. It took that long. And that's why it was established as 8 days. Then the Braisa says, so why did they, you know, make it an event that we celebrate on a yearly basis? We don't celebrate the Chanukah or the Chanukah HaMizbeach from the Mishkan. We don't celebrate the Chanukah HaMizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech, or, you know, in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. We don't deal with those. We only deal with the one from the Chashmonaim. We don't have any of those Batei Mikdash anymore. So why is it that this one is lasting forever? And the answer to that is, once you had the Nais, they saw that there was something special about this, and it was meant to be taken as a sign to eternalize this. This Nais is Megal, that whole victory, there was more to it than just, so to speak, a regular Chanukah HaMizbeach, not that they're so regular normally, and that's why it was preserved for all generations. So when you look at it from this perspective, there really are what appear to be two aspects. One aspect is the day of Hanukkah itself. The day is commemorating the victory and the ability to reestablish the Beis HaMikdash. The 8 days of Hanukkah, the daytime, the normal activities, nighttime also, but the normal activities, the celebration, the Hallel, the Hodos L'Hallel, those Kavushmanas Mechanukah are because of the miraculous war and the ability to reestablish the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. The mitzvah's hadlaka is commemorating the nais which allowed us to understand that these 8 days should have been established. Now, keep in mind, by splitting it up into these two aspects, the menorah is one aspect commemorating the nais. The day as a whole, the simcha, the lehodos lahalel, is commemorating the other aspect of it, does allow the famous question of the Beis Yosef, it's really asked before him already in the Rush, and others, but the Beis Yosef has a famous question, why is it 8 days? Because the Nais was only 7. One day, the oil would have lasted for it. And there are many Teruzim already, there are 3 Teruzim already by the late Rishonim, and the early Echronim, now they have thousands of tirutzim and people give, whether they're good or not, use your own judgment. But whatever it is, people spend a lot of time finding tirutzim, Baruch Hashem, L'Hagdol Torah L'Adira, and the question is, does the question even start? Open up Megillas Tainus and it says, why was it 8 days? Why was it 8 days? It was 8 days because it took 8 days to clean up, to literally clean the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's 8 days. The Beis Yosef says, question, I don't know if he knew the Megillas Tainus. I don't know if he had the full version that we currently do have uncovered, or if he only had the abridged version that was quoted by the Gemara. If he only had the abridged version, then his question may have started because he didn't have the full version. But even if he had the full version, his question still stands. Because, you're right, the 8 days are established because of that. But why do we light the menorah on 8 days? Maybe we should have only lit the menorah for 7 of the 8 days. Have the established Yontif of Chanukah 8 days long to commemorate the Chanukah's Mizbeach, and that which we commemorate the Nes on the nights that were symbolic of nights that the miracle happened on, we would light candles or oil or whatever it is that you light. And, you know, why do we have it on all eight? Because the Nes, the miracle, is only 7 of the 8 days. One day there was sufficient amounts. There was a sufficient amount of oil. But because of this, his question stands, and now you can start to deal with whatever terutzin you like or don't like, and have fun with that another time. And I can get into the terutzin tonight. But that is really, you know, just the perspective as we're going to go into Chanukah in the next few weeks. Keep that in mind. It's not just the menorah, and it's not just the war. There really is this dual aspect, and at different times of Chanukah, different parts of times in the day, the focus in the tefillahs and the focus perhaps that we should take as we're, you know, celebrating it, you know, it should reflect that, and we should take it to understand what we're doing. Now, the Hadlaka itself, so it seems to have evolved over time. Some historians have actually suggested that initially there wasn't a mitzvah of Hadlaka. People were just commemorating it somewhat. Now, the kviyas that we just mentioned, the establishment of the days of Chanukah, that we see already was an active thing. By the time of the Tanoim, the latter Tanoim, we see that there already was an established minhag, which became a mitzvah midrabanan, to light the menorah. But because of that, Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have machlokas. Do you light going upwards or downwards? 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, do you have first night, 1 candle, second night, 2 candles, and keep going up? Or do you go downwards, start at 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, etc. throughout the days? It's interesting to note that Shammai and Hillel lived about 100 years after the revolution. It wasn't all that old. Now, it wasn't all that fresh either. But it seems, it's difficult to see how two such divergent customs could have come about if there was an initial enactment, like, you know, this amount. And all of a sudden, within 100 years, we're arguing, do you go upwards or downwards? Do you learn, as Shammai says, from, you know, Sukkos, Pariachad, where the sacrifices, they go downwards in number from each day on Sukkos. You know, how do you deal with this? They're looking for a source, they're not establishing it based on the minute.
They're doing a hiddur.
That's fine, but
everyone agrees the mitzvah is the same.
That's fine, but it's still left open-ended. And the open-ended
some
of what...
Some people want to be mahadur the mitzvah this way, some want to be mahadur the mitzvah.
That's exactly the point, is that when they initially said it...
But everyone agrees there's a kvius of a mitzvah.
That's exactly my point. Well, I'm not sure about that second point, but the first half that you're saying is exactly the point, that there was something left over, if not everything of it, which is possible, and that's not just me suggesting there are some concerns. I think the Doris Rishonim might say this, and others, that it evolved over time. You're right, at one point in time it was a minhag, and they officially said you should keep...
Well, no, I'm going to say that. The Chachamim enacted one candle. Like, for example,
at what time period?
Like a Shabbos.
At what time period? At what time period is my question.
At the time of the revolution.
That's possible. It's also possible that they didn't enact anything. People naturally started doing it. It became a custom. People wanted to be mahadir. Different people did it in different ways. Eventually, it did become a mitzvah. An official mitzvah. I don't know if it was at the times of Chashmonaim, it could have been 100 years later at the times of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. At that point, they tried to establish what is the best Hidur. Like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Now, it's also possible, like you're saying, that they enacted one thing, they enacted the mitzvah, and then people want it to be mahadir. And the debate isn't a halachic debate, it's a custom. It's a debate in custom, which is the better way to do it. Nowadays, you can't go like Shammai, like Beishammai. Why not? I want to be mahadir like this. I want to, you know, have candles like this. We'll all do the basic mitzvah, and each person will make his hiddur the way he wants it. The hiddur is clearly part of the mitzvah right now. And I'll bring you a proof. It's a really backhanded proof, but it works. The reason why it's backhanded is because it's a little unclear where the Ramah is coming from, but the minhag amongst most Ashkenazim is that every member of the household lights their own candle or candles. And each one makes his own bracha. You're making a bracha. If it's really Ner Yishu Beiso is the standard, and everything else is a hosafa of a hidur, how could you make a bracha on the hidur? It's not a mitzvah. Make one bracha on the entire lighting. One person should make a bracha, and then everybody in the family lights their candles. Or, one person makes the bracha and lights candles representing the amount of people in the household. But that's not how Ashkenazim do it, based on the Ramah. Where the Ramah is coming from is open to debate. Hopefully we'll get into a little bit of that tonight. But either way, what I'm suggesting is, if it evolved over time, and then it was made as a mitzvah, based on how it evolved, then you allow for this to happen, that since people do it in this fashion, and now we're saying it's a mitzvah to do it the way people are doing it, then the hidur itself is a chelik of the mitzvah. If the hidur is a chelik of the mitzvah, then it's difficult to see how in the course of 100 years you had such divergent opinions if it was initially instituted. So it seems that it evolved on its own without there being actually somebody directing it. Different people had different ideas, different customs evolved, maybe different regions in Eretz Yisrael took different ways of doing it, different, you know, but it seems by the time of Beisham Yisrael, there are two basic customs that we're familiar with as to how to celebrate the lighting of the menorah. It clearly at that time was taking on the opinion of being halachic, if it hadn't done so already, and now we have a halachic dispute, which is the better hidur, and obviously we follow the Shita Beis Hillel, as we generally do throughout Shas. So, getting into it, what we were just discussing a moment ago, so what is this hidur? So, one candle per household is the bare bones mitzvah. After that, there's a machlokas between Tosos and the Rambam. What's peculiar is, generally when you have a machlokas, Tosos and the Rambam, and we then find the machlokas between Mechaber and Ramah, which would be reflected between Sfardim and Ashkenazim, it's more common to find where the Mechaber and then subsequently the Sephardic populations following the opinion of the Rambam, and Ashkenazim and the Ramah following the opinion of Tosos. Here we have the Ramah following an opinion that is similar to what it seems in the Rambam. I don't want to say it is certainly the Rambam. And we find that Sephardim seem to have the opinion of Tosos. Now Tosos maintains, you know, there's Mahajan, Mahajan, and Mahajan. So it comes out that according to him, it's one menorah, so to speak, or one set of candles. Depending on what night it is, will determine how many candles you're going to light, or oil, if you're lighting oil, which is the hidur. And that amounts for the entire family. So you'll have one menorah for each household, and that will be Tosos, and that's essentially how Sephardim, for the most part, do light their Chanukah menorahs. You don't need a menorah. When I say menorah, I'm using that term very loosely. It's a misnomer. You don't need a kli, per se, to hold your candles together. There is a shita that holds your oil needs to be in a kli. You can't just pour oil on a windowsill and light a wick in it. even that, it's not so poshut where that's coming from. But even if you're going to go with that opinion, you don't need something adjoining to connect all eight candles, let's say, on your last night. So, for example, if you want the good old-fashioned, you know, eight beer bottles, you don't need to connect all of them. You can have each one separate from the one next to it. They don't have to be attached in any way whatsoever. And you fill it with water, and then a little oil at the top, and then you can light it as such. You don't need them.
They shouldn't be in different... They should be aligned. They
well, that's a different story. Do they need to be in a line? So there's a way to read the Ramah which would indicate that they need to be in a straight line, but it's not so posh that they need to be in a line. They just need to be distinct. It's only
like a circle.
If you have a circle, so that's what he's talking about. But if they're distant enough from each other, me'ikar adin, it sounds like it isn't a problem because you can see each one distinctly. The minhag doesn't seem to light them in that way, but the minhag I think just comes because when you buy a standard menorah in the store, they're going to be in a straight line. And you know, a quick read of the Ramah indicates that it's in a straight line. But really the hakpada is just that they be distant enough and separate from each other that you see that it doesn't look like just a big torch. When he talks about you can't have one, you know, going this way, one going that way, he clearly states that it's because you're not going to be able to tell, you know, how many candles and what's here and what's there. And it seems from later Achronim that they understand that if you do have it very distinct and it's very obvious what's going on, that it wouldn't be a problem. Nevertheless, most people don't happen to do it that way. Now, the Rambam, unlike Tosfos, he holds that the best way to do this, to do the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles or oil, is that each person in the household lights their own menorah. We'll call it the menorah, you know, as I just mentioned before. So, excuse me, a menorah is lit for each person in the household. I apologize, I said it a little bit incorrectly right then. Which means, if let's say you have six people in the home, six menorahs are lit, but six people aren't lighting them. One person is lighting six menorahs. It's similar to, there's a minhag, I think everybody for the most part has this minhag, or almost everybody has the minhag, that when a woman lights candles for Shabbos, she lights two candles, and it's almost universal that for each additional person in the household, she lights a new candle every time she has a child. So it's generally, you can look at the candles and tell that two are for Zachar and Shamor, right? The two primary ones are for Shabbos, two candles, and then after that you can tell how many children, you know, are in the family, or how many children this woman has had. So here also, so she's lighting candles, one for each person, but she's the one lighting them. Those people aren't lighting themselves. So Rambam holds, one person would light the menorahs, but demonstrating how many people are in the household. One bracha for all these menorahs. And it's for all the men, women, and children in the household. The Shulchan Gibur reiterates it, it's for men, women, and children in the household. So he would light a menorah for his wife, he would light a menorah for if he has daughters, they're included in this. Now the Ramah takes a different approach, and he says that it's each person lighting their own menorah, which is the prevalent minhag amongst Ashkenazic Jewry, and each one makes his or her own bracha. We'll discuss perhaps the or her in a few moments. So each one makes his or her own bracha. How that develops and how one is allowed to make a bracha has been a subject of dispute. Lots of terutzim, brisker terutzim, non-brisker terutzim. Is the Ramah saying a new minhag and knowing that he's arguing on the Rambam? Does he have a different approach as to how to understand the Rambam? Has been a subject of debate. But when all is said and done, this is the minhag that Ashkenazim take, and as we've mentioned, the Hidur itself seems to be a chelik of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, even if a Hidur of other mitzvahs one would not necessarily make a brach on specifically. It's possible that the nature of this Hidur, as we've mentioned before, may be a chelik of the mitzvah itself, that fact that it was developed over time and they included all the different Hidurim initially and they allowed for that to take place. It could be that this minhag, however it developed, is somehow included, and therefore each person does make his or her own bracha. It was.
Times past, such a Hidur, one menorah per person.
It was. I've definitely heard of I've heard of communities from Poland, some people who came from there, who said that they remembered growing up that nobody had, even one candle for each person in the household. what they would do is they would hollow out a potato, and then they would use that for latkes or whatever it was. That potato, just the skin and I guess a little bit of potato left at the bottom, was their makeshift menorah. They would fill it with some paraffin, which I guess was somewhat cheaper for them to get, and they would light one candle for the entire house. Ne'er Yishu Beso. They couldn't afford more than that. They couldn't even afford one candle per person in the household in some of these areas. So of course, that's the bare bones mitzvahs, one candle per household. And after that is a hidur. And as with any hidurim, you have to deal with the economics. Baruch Hashem, in America, even people who aren't able to afford much, generally people are able to afford, enough for menorahs. If not even olive oil, then at least with candles or something of that nature. But of course, if somebody can't, the basic mitzvah is ner ishu beso. It's on the household. So going to now, as we said, the Rambam clearly included that the balabas is lighting for everybody in the household. So that included the women. In many Ashkenazi communities, not all, the woman of the household did not light. Over time, it seems to be more prevalent that in addition just to the woman of the household, but even the unmarried girls would not light. Now, when it came to the woman of the household, it became very common that she would not be lighting, assuming she was married. But the single girls, that there was a split depending on the communities. Many communities they lit, and in many communities they did not light. And the question is, how did this evolve? The Rambam, as we said, which is the source, somewhat, of this minhag, definitely indicated that, men, women, and children. In fact, what's interesting is the Gemara itself says that women are chayavos in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Av hein hayu ba'osu anes. Because they were included, and according to some, not only included, but they were the reason for the nes, they brought about the nes in many historical fashions, the famous stories. So because of that, they have a chiyuv of Ner Chanukah. Now, everybody agrees in the following scenario. A man is traveling, his wife can light for him. If there's a man traveling, his wife can light at home for him. Kuli amalopliki. Ner ishu beso. That is the case of the Gemara, because she's representing the household. Af hein hayu boso reis includes her in the mitzvah, so she can light on behalf of the household, and she can therefore do that. Okay. What about when the two of them are at home together? So, the Eliyarava questions, why is it that the women of the household don't light? He's not talking about single women. He's talking about married women. Their husbands would light, and they would not light themselves. Why is it that they're not lighting the candles? So,
what are you saying? He's likening it to 4 cups of wine. We make the wife drink 4 cups of wine.
Is the exact same line used in Arvei Pesachim. They are chayavos, and therefore they have the same obligation as men.
So just tell me so what we can...
Presumably they should light. Now, keep in mind, the mitzvah, bare bones mitzvah, is near Yishu Beso. Your Yotzei, if only one person lights. I don't care if it's a family of 15. One person lights one candle, they're all Yotzei. I don't care that they're all above the age of bar and bas mitzvah. It doesn't matter. One person, the owner of the house, lights for everybody in the household, and that works. We're dealing with the hidur. The hidur was that every person is lit for, every person who lives in the house is lit for. Ashkenazim, based on the Ramah, every person lights. That's how we take it. It's not just the realm that everybody has a menorah lit on their behalf. It's that everybody themselves lights a menorah or the candles. So, how did the women of the household, says the Eli Rabba, how did they get cut out of this? It's clear from the Rambam and the Shulta Kibarim that they were in. But then you find that they're out in the minhag. He's just saying, I'm looking around, nobody lights. So his answer is, Ishto Kigufa. We find sometimes somebody can do a mitzvah and it works on behalf of him and his wife. It's more than just shlichus, it's more than just being her agent. It's as if the two are really one person. So in that regard, he could light and she's included. It's interesting because she clearly was not included in the Rambam and the Shulti Gibarim's understanding. This, these Rishonim. But perhaps you'll have to suggest, if it's the case, all of a sudden when each person is lighting, to actively do something, for some reason the minhag developed that she didn't light. I don't know. The Chasam Sofer starts to discuss this as getting much later, why don't single girls light? Now this, once again, is a matter of dispute between the different communities. Some communities they did, some communities they did not. But clearly in his communities they were not lighting. And he says that it must be because the original mitzvah was not to light indoors, it was to light outside the house, like you do in Eretz Yisrael, and that seems to be a lack of tznius to a degree. So he says they were never included in the original mitzvah. And since they were never included in the original mitzvah, they don't light. So he's justifying the practice that he's seeing, that they're not lighting, by stating that. How does he address the Gemara says, Afein hayu ba'oso anes, and they light? That's specific to when the husband isn't home. If she wants to light on behalf of the family, she can. She's able to. But when discussing everybody in the family lighting their own menorah, that they, in a way, shouldn't do, according perhaps according to him.
If everybody's home, it's not snow for the woman to be outside. That's why the women never, they were never part of the mitzvah. But if the Gemara is referring to when the husband is away,
it's a peculiar case.
Now it's okay for her to go.
So I think he's saying it's not that it's not okay, because women did leave the house. It's just that they would not have to be part of that mitzvah. Exactly. Which once again one can argue one way or another, but especially within the Chasam Sofer and his understanding of other matters of tznius and things, it does fit perhaps into that greater mindset that he's, how he paskins and how he leans in many of these items. But that's how he justifies that aspect of it. There's an old
shul. Beso, just the men of the house?
Ner Yishu Beso means one person lights on behalf of the house. Each person in the house can light also if they want. That's the Ramah, how he learned.
In principle, the woman can light in the place, and the man could sit down and let the woman light. In principle.
In principle, that could happen. That's not the norm. And therefore, she was not included to be a separate menorah as the original minhag developed. Now, how does he address the Rambam and the Shulta Giborim, who said it's every single person in the house, men, women? There's the Eli Rabba got out of that part by saying, Ishto Kagufo. That the wife is a different story, and the single girls presumably would be lighting. But the Chasam Sofer was totally excluding women from this mitzvah, barring the case where the husband's on the road and she's lighting on behalf of him and for the family. So how does he get out of that? His answer will be, yes, according to the way the Rambam learned the sugya, that the Balabas lights a menorah for everybody, she wasn't going out. It was a menorah that represented. Remember, it's like our Shabbos candles example. So that's how he would say it. Now, realistically, it's a justification for a minhag. If somebody has a minhag, I'll never tell somebody not to do like the minhag of their family. The person should always keep the minhag of their family. This is what to certainly be samechan, minhag of sin of yadenu. But it's clear both from the Eli Rabba and from the Chasam Sofer that they're justifying a practice that they saw. I think it would be very difficult if every single person, if the wives were all lighting. I don't think the Eli Rabba would have said they shouldn't light because Ishto Kagufa. Because it's clear, he's saying, I don't see them doing this. The Pashat Pshat in the Gemara is that they should. So why not? It must be their Somech on this. Does that mean that they can't light? He didn't say that. He's just saying they didn't have to light. The Chasam Sofer is saying, nobody is lighting. It must be. It was never included in the original mitzvah. What if he saw them all lighting? Then maybe it was included in the original mitzvah. He's seeing something and he's trying to retrofit. Well, presumably, if en masse people are not doing this, it must be that, you know, Jews who are keeping tradition from one generation to the next would not have just stopped doing something if it was a mitzvah. So he's trying to then say, well, it must be because of these reasons. But it's not that he's saying women couldn't have been included in the mitzvah and therefore they shouldn't light and they were all lighting. So when you have communities that did have people lighting, they would say the exact opposite. They perhaps would say, well, maybe in your communities where the women aren't lighting, another possibility is those communities maybe historically didn't have money, there were fewer candles, and the balabas lit, and not everybody was able to. And therefore, none of the children were lighting. It's unclear. Now, dealing with this,
quickly, if you go back a little bit to the actual halacha that the Gemara is talking about, first of all, the pashut of the Gemara is afino even also an ayes, women are included.
It's which, which would suggest that the wife should light along after the wedding, along with the husband.
The application the Gemara then has is the man on the road. But you're right, the pashut of the Gemara, you would think, is she's lighting alongside the husband. Except, you just have to now address this. In the Ashkenazic understanding of the sugya, remember, according to the Rambam, the balabas, the man of the house, is lighting all the menorahs. Right? But you're right, according to the Ruma, that everybody's lighting their own, the Pasha of Shadling is every single person in the household should light their menorah. Do we have any justification that this could be? So, let's say a man is on the road. Can he light his own menorah? What do you mean, can he light his own menorah? Why not? Well, if his wife is lighting for him, and he lights, so she, if she's lighting for him, then it's Rechel Batal. So, let's just understand one thing, quickly, and that is, she clearly is not Yotze with his lighting. Because she can be Motzi him, why? Because she's in his house. And she's representing him being in the house. He's not in the house with her, because he's on the road. His lighting in no way, even though he's her husband, in no way is going to be Motzi, or even according to the Eli Rabba, the Isha Gugufo, because he's not an Aster, she's going to need to light Chanukah menorah. So, halacha l'maisa, if a husband is traveling, the wife needs to light a menorah. If there's a single girl, it's very difficult to justify her not lighting a menorah on her own. The Chasam Sofer is going to be the only thing you can rely on, who's saying that they were never included, but it's just a little interesting, because now we're going to look at some Rishonim, Ashkenazic Rishonim, and Rishonim who are generally seen as the ones who set up Ashkenazic Minog, and it clearly seems that the women perhaps were lighting a little bit, or had the ability to light. So, she cannot be Yotze with his lighting, but he can be with hers. He wants to light in addition to her. Can he? The Ma'aril, who his sefer is a sefer called basically Minog Ashkenaz, his Minhagim of Ashkenaz, a good portion of them come from the Ma'aril and what he's recording. And the Trumas Hadashim both say that he can. They say it in a little different way. And the Trumas Hadashim, I think, is a little more telling. I don't know how much of a machlokas there is, or just that they're, you know, discussing it in different terms. The Ma'aril essentially says he's yotzei with her if he wants. But if he doesn't want to, then hers will be her hadlaka, and his will be his hadlaka, because he's not in that house, and tonight, this is his house. He's staying in a hotel, this is his house, the hotel here is his house. So he chose not to be yotzi with her. If somebody tries to be motzi me a mitzvah, and I don't want to be yotzi, somebody makes kiddush, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to make my own kiddush. I can make my own kiddush, if I want. So I don't want to be yotzi with her hadlaka. I have the ability to be yotzi with my hadlaka tonight where I'm at, so I'm not yotzi with her. So I'll light my own. That's how the Ma'aril sets it up. The Trumas Hadashim says, it'll be no different than Mahajan and Mahajan. It'll be no different than their home, and everybody wants to light candles together. So you see, there's no problem with a man and a woman lighting in their own house. It's a little more difficult according to the Chasam Sofer. According to the Eli Rabba, so you say, Ishto Kegufo, if she wants. If she doesn't want, she doesn't have to. For the wife. And therefore it's open. But once you have in here this idea that women shouldn't light because they're not in the mitzvah, unless it's a circumstance where she's being mostly the husband, and the Trumas Hadashim is saying that no, it's the same thing as if they're at home together and both want to light, then it seems from the Trumas Hadashim, if both want to light at home, both can light. And certainly if the woman of the household is able to light, it's a lot more difficult to justify single girls not lighting. So what I would say is that if somebody has a minhag, certainly that the single girls in the household do not light, I'm not saying one should change their minhag. The Chasam Sofer said, if one doesn't have a minhag, or if they want to light, or certainly if their minhag is to light, I think that they should light. And I did just add there also, if the girls want to light, I don't think it's kedai to say, don't light because of the Chasam Sofer, and it's been our minhag, because there's what to be sameich on. This is a personal opinion, you can take it how you will. I don't think anything bad is coming out from them lighting Hanukkah candles, and I think it can only foster them being included in mitzvahs that are innocuous, you know, and beautiful things, and family singing together, and I think it can bring joy, maybe wrong holiday from this time of year, bringing joy to the world, but, you know, they can all have more of the festive spirit, if you will, and create a simcha for what they're supposed to be having, simcha during Hanukkah, and simcha for Torah and mitzvahs, and being part of it.
Ask a question. When we say Avin, which nace is appropriate to say they were
there for? So the nace of the menorah was megala, that the rest of the nace of the war was supposed to be projected, and they certainly were saved during the war. In fact, one of the major decrees was that, you know, that the Greeks had was that, on, you know, when a woman would get married, they'd be ma'anis her before her husband could take her. So the women were certainly affected horribly by that decree, and the war protected the women very strongly, and it was a tremendous miracle. Obviously, just surviving and being able to have, you know, autonomy in the Beis HaMikdash affected everybody, but there were aspects that were specifically that they were saved from. So there is one of the Balei Tosfos who says that, and you could deal with, you know, the story of Yehudas being instrumental in orchestrating parts of the war effort over there. The Ola Shmuel, interestingly enough, even though we have Balei Tosfos saying that Afhein Hayu Also Nes means they brought about the Nes. It's used by Yetzias Mitzrayim also, where they brought about the Nes. We say it was in the merit of the women, you know, that we had Yetzias Mitzrayim, so it's because of them, or with Purim, that it's because of Esther, Afhein Hayu Also Nes, that actually the Af means that they're the cause, the fundamental cause of it. The Ola Shmuel, different than the Chasam Sofer, he tries to justify single girls not lighting by saying Af means, yeah, they're also included. So he, unlike the Chasam Sofer, he holds they do have a mitzvah, but like the Chasam Sofer holds, but when there are men, he says Af means they're tafel, they're secondary. So when there are men, there's no mitzvah. It's only when there's no men that there is a mitzvah. So that is a little bit of a difference where he would say single girls should light if there is no man present. But if there are men present, they shouldn't. Whereas the Chasam Sofer would say, with the exception of the case of the Gemara, where she's lighting for the man, that there's no mitzvah. Both, as I said, seem to justify, you know, the practice. And the Trumas Hadashim and the Ma'aril do not indicate that that was the case. We'll just end off on one last thing, talking about traveling. We have mentioned this part, I think, also in the past, and that is that when one travels, the mitzvah is near Ishu Beso. So if somebody's on a flight from here to Eretz Yisrael, and they're not going to be able to light, so where do they light? Famous question everybody asks, you know, when they're going, do I light in the airport? Should I hit the light in the plane? You know, don't hit the bell, because, you know, the flight attendant will come. Whatever it is, which one do I do? I can't bring lighters on the plane because of security concerns. The answer is, you don't light at all. And if you're driving in a car, let's say you're driving to Miami, I know some people, nuts, they drive from here to Miami through the night. I don't know who such people would be. If they would do it on Hanukkah, which the people I'm thinking of offhand have never gone through the night on Hanukkah like that, you don't light. There's no bias. And it's Muach Rashi says, Neri Yishu Beso, that if somebody sees the Hanukkah candles in somebody else's house and he hasn't lit, so he makes the bracha of She'asa Nisim Ma'avosenu. And he just makes that bracha.
Now, it's not for somebody who's going to be lighting that evening and just hasn't got around to it. He's coming home from late from work, whatever it is. He'll make that bracha when he lights his own menorah. So who's it talking about? So actually, somebody doesn't have a house, or somebody's not going to be in a boat. So what's going on? He's on the boat because it's an Eri Yishuv Bezo. So there's a whole discussion if you're on a boat that happens to have cabins. You're on a cruise. Right? So how do you deal with that? So that's an interesting question. The receiver has a Frank has a whole psak on that he says you would light. It's mashiv from the Aruch HaShulchan, you would also light. There's a big machlokes about that, and honestly, in a case like that, I would say a person should light out of deference to receive Pesach Frank's psak, but without a bracha, because even there, I don't think it's considered a bias. Because a bias has to be a place where theoretically people live, you know, in a normal setting.
What about in the hospital?
So a hospital or a hotel, I think you do light with a bracha, and the difference there is because the structure itself is just a house. Its function is for a hospital or for a hotel. Its function is temporary, but the structure is permanent. Whereas a boat, the whole structure is temporary. I'm not talking about houseboats, which are more permanent. Those you would light with a bracha. But a cruise, that type of structure nobody lives in. It's not done. It's, you know, a hospital is a room with, a building with a bunch of rooms. There's nothing technically that, you know, differentiates other than the equipment and everything inside it, but the structure itself doesn't show that to you. So, and if you're in a
sukkah, so that means a boat does not require a sukkah.
That's a different story. You know, I'm not so sure about that. In fact, I'm positive. That sukkah is a different story. Because you can make a sukkah. It is a dir sarai.
No, but, I mean, I'm traveling.
Fine, but when you're traveling, you can make a DRSRI, but you can't make a bias. That's exactly, the point is you can't make a bias. You can make a DRSRI.
What's driving the mitzvah? Is it the fact that I don't have a bias? I mean, if I soak also, it's the fact that I'm not in my bias anymore.
If you're traveling, you don't need, that's a different thing with Holchei Drachim. But assume, forgetting the tour of Holchei Drachim, you could make a, that's the case in the mother. You could make a Barosh HaSvina, you can make a Sukkah Barosh HaSvina. You could do it. If you want to know if you're a potter, when you're traveling, it's a different story. You know, but if you have
the guy that lives on a boat.
He makes a sukkah on his boat. And if he lives on a boat, he'll light on the boat because he's on a houseboat. Those structures are made for living in a more permanent style. But if you're in a structure that the structure itself is only temporary, it's made for temporary. I'm not talking about a hotel because the structure itself is theoretically, it could be apartments. It's just happening. We're using it now in a way that it's temporary. But in such a case, you would make a bracha. So if you're driving through the whole night, that even Ritzi Pesach Frank would say you would not make a bracha because it's not like you have your own cabin. I don't think an RV would be much different. And an airplane also.
The family goes away to a hotel. Like, you should basically do one menorah, you do multiple, or just like at home.
Just like at home. Now, you maybe have constraints with the hotel, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and you may be nervous. Always err on the side of caution for safety reasons. You probably are only going to do one just because of the safety concerns, the way the room is set up. But technically, it's the same as in your own house.
What is the proper approach to when there's a simcha on Hanukkah night, a mitzvah or a wedding, whatever it is? People have seen where they have candles set up in the hall.
Right.
Everybody, or some people stay home and light, and they come to the simcha. Are there problems there?
So, there are differences of opinion. What I would recommend is, if it's not a big deal for you to light and then go to the simcha, you're not one of the main players, whatever it is, that's fine. That would be the best. In the event that you can't do that, I would recommend not lighting until you get home. Assuming that there are people awake in the house, or people who are driving by your home at that time of night who will be able to see it. But to light in the hall, there are those who would advocate that, but I would not advocate that. It's not your bias.
The captain of the ship who has quarters on the ship?
And those are his permanent quarters? He might actually be, in fact, he would light with a bracha because those are permanent quarters.